For many of us, the beginning of 2023 starts with trying to figure out what is the new normal? What are the big issues and personalities that will dominate our headlines in 2023? Joining us is the Sacramento Bee's California opinion editor, Marcos Bretone, and the Goldman States journalist, Ed Goldman. Marcos, what are the issues that you think will dominate our conversations in 2023?
In Sacramento, I think the city is going to need to figure out what it's going to do with all its empty buildings downtown, because we need to probably get around the idea that those state workers are not going to come back. And what does an urban city do when it is planned for generations to fill a certain amount in office space and then the people occupying the office don't come back? So I think that's going to be a major issue in the city, in the county. I think we're grappling with climate change, and we're still not as informed as we need to be on what it takes to reverse the effects on the local level. And we had some mixed success in the most recent election on that front, but some setbacks as well. And in the state, I think Gavin Newsom is going to spend the year insisting to people that he really doesn't want to be president when he really does. So that'll be fun to watch.
We're going to come back to that one, because I've got a question for you on that. Ed, what do you think is going to dominate the headlines during this year?
Well, first of all, I won't be running for president. I'm 72 and just realized I'm too young. I think we're going to see our local politicians continue to play musical chairs. I every time I read that somebody's leaving one office, but they're thinking of running for another one, especially in this town, it's hysterical. It's like at some point you want to go, well, why don't you guys go get a job, an actual job, you know, go out there in the public or private sector and do something. But no, it's like, so you're going to run, you'll run for that. And then when you get termed out, I'll run for your office and then you can run for mine. And we're just seeing people who are just their career politicians, and they accomplish, I think, next to nothing in Sacramento. I really do. I think that Daryl Steinberg will continue to ride his absolute success curing homelessness and crime in the city by accepting a judgeship. I think there's going to be a scramble for his seat as soon as he does it. And I've seen that our own Ryan Seacrest of I'll Host Anything is already throwing his hat in the ring. Roger Dickinson, who'll run for anything at any time, every time.
I want to come back. There's a lot of running in there that you just talked about. I want to come back to Gavin Newsom. Marcos, you say that that the governor is going to be denying all year long his desire to run for president. In other words, I have no interest and never thought about it at all. Recently, I was back in Washington, and someone in jest, partially, said, gee, the Democrats claim that if they only had enough money and they had controls over all the levers of power, they could solve everything and people would live in a utopia. And then he started to quote a litany of issues: transportation, homelessness, educational achievement, the environment. And the list went on for probably about 45 seconds of all of the things that California is either last or near dead last on, and said, the Democrats have unified government led by Gavin Newsom. Why should they be in charge of anything given the state of California today? What would you say that the governor really has to run on if he did decide to run for president?
Well, remember, this is going to be a shadow campaign. So in that sense, he doesn't need to run the way a conventional politician would. He has identified his niche as being the telegenic attack dog for Democrats, and has said openly that the Democrats have been too slow and too passive to respond to attacks from their Republican opponents. And so he's setting himself up to be the picture of democratic virility and the well-coiffed spokesperson for democratic ideals. And listen, on the topic of theatrics and sound bites, I mean, he's a champ. He's been one throughout his career. That's where he excels. And those of us who know him know that the actual dirty details are a little harder to solve.
You know, one of the issues that you brought up was homelessness, and homelessness continues to vex California and in particular the Sacramento region. Recently, there was a big announcement that the city and county, who the Bee has been highly critical of over the past several months, have finally gotten together and formed some sort of pact to address homelessness. What can we expect to see in 2023?
Well, the details of the agreement call for the county to finally, which they should have done 10 years ago, really put a big effort behind social workers and mental health workers being out in the field and funneling homeless people or attempting to funnel homeless people from being on the street into services. Now, it sounds straightforward, but it's really not. It's a really difficult thing to do. I think for the average voter and citizen, I think, and I've said this before, that the pressure needs to remain on the county. They're 10 years late to the party on homelessness. They've let Daryl Steinberg do all the heavy lifting in the last 10 years, and they only reluctantly were brought to the negotiating table. And I have a feeling that Sacramento accepts mediocrity in its elected officials, and there is no more mediocre body of elected officials in Sacramento than the Sacramento Board of Supervisors. Phil Cerna, Patrick Kennedy have just, as alleged Democrats, have been utter failures on this issue, have been AWOL on this issue, and only seem to care about when people criticize them. So I think the community needs to really focus the attention on them and making sure that they live up to the end of the deal.
And if we take Marcos's statement about how we seem to raise mediocrity here, is there anybody who you're looking forward to seeing more of in 2023 that may be a voice that can get something done or at least drive a conversation?
Well, I had actually mentioned this, I think, a couple of years ago on your show when Katie Maple, and I hope his name is spelled C-A-I-T-Y. I hope I'm pronouncing it right.
Yes.
She just was elected to the city council. And I think she's going to be an absolute pistol on the council. She ran a rather fearless campaign and against some very, very serious odds. I absolutely agree with Marcos on the county. What I think has been the biggest problem with homelessness in Sacramento is that politicians are simply concerned about it for optics. I'm not saying that they don't have hearts or anything like that, but they just want to get them off the street. We don't want to see them. And I hear people talk about bringing in other businesses in Sacramento, relocation, economic expansion. And the fact is that they take a familiarization tour of Sacramento, and they see tents and they see these people and that's what the politicians want to do, is like let's like make it look prettier. But as Marcos alludes to, and I absolutely agree with, there's social services are the things that are really lacking. I know at St. John's Program for Real Change, their mantra has been if you are accepted into the program, you have to sign a contract saying you're going to be off drugs, you're going to be off this, you're going to be off that. And then 18 months later, you emerge with an actual job. And to me, it's trying to actually heal people rather than just hide them away.
Interesting. You know, Marcos, when you talk about the composition of the County Board of Supervisors, we are seeing, though, some changes in terms of who's holding power within the region. For instance, for the first time in a couple of decades, we have a female majority city council in the city of Sacramento. And in fact, in West Sacramento, the entire city council is female. Is there anything that we should expect from seeing this changing of the guard, not just generationally and otherwise, that might bring a different approach?
It's an interesting question. I think on this show a couple of years ago, I think one of my predictions was that we're going to see a generational change in Sacramento, and we're seeing it. And now the question is, can this new generation govern in a different way? I think in the city it's difficult because the city has refused, the city voters have refused to change our system of governance. And so you have an unelected city manager who still wields a lot of power and who has a different set of values and different priorities. And one of those priorities is to be worried about what citizens feel. And a lot of citizens, unfortunately, in Sacramento are still in the mindset that they want the homeless out of their face. And as long as we're stuck on that, as long as we never move beyond that or think more deeply than that, it's difficult to imagine really meaningful change. And so it'll be up to this next generation. You know, Ed mentioned Katie Maple, is Karina Talamantes is another. Really young people who now are going to be sitting on the dais and learning that it's one thing to be an advocate, it's another thing to actually govern.
Well, that's an interesting point in itself, because Ed had mentioned Daryl Steinberg a few moments ago, and a lot of people are beginning to ask, well, what's next for Mayor Steinberg? And there's been talk about a judicial appointment or maybe something else. Part of the shift that's gone on is that Mayor Steinberg in his earlier years was known to be at the bleeding edge of the left. And now he's considered to be part of the establishment. Are there any new ideas related to the issues that are facing us climate-wise, homelessness, and the other things that are at play, including the big one you talk about, which is the challenge of how to reimagine downtowns, that are being talked about that we might see some action or progress on in 2023?
Well, I mean, I keep hearing from people in business and tourism that we need to admit that the downtown workers are not coming back, and we need to begin to repurposing these buildings. But there are enough enough interests in development who aren't ready to go there yet, and who see a tremendous amount of money that would have to be put up front to make those buildings be able to perform a different function. So these issues are very difficult. It's one thing to say it, it's another thing to do it. But Sacramento, downtown Sacramento has a terrible problem in that there just aren't enough people downtown. So it's going to take more than good intentions to turn that around. And you're talking about a council now that's very young and very inexperienced. And so it's going to be really difficult for them to achieve that and to make some meaningful change on homelessness when I don't think that the city manager is really on board for that. Not in the way they are.
Ed, you know, part of this whole downtown issue that Marcos has described has to do with not just how we repurpose the buildings, but also what happens to the center of commerce. What do you think are going to be some of the key challenges that businesses are going to be facing in the coming year?
Well, one of the issues that I think is kind of important is that I don't think the hybrid work model, and this, I'm saying this as somebody who's worked at home for 40 years, so it's like I don't have any skin in the game, but I do notice that the Wall Street Journal just the other day had a front page article about the fact that all these corporations are now demanding that people come back to work. Mm-hmm. I think that's actually, and it's easy for me to say again, because nobody's calling me back to work. They just say, stay home, in fact. I think you're going to see that people are going to go back to work. And I think a lot of the situation that Marcus talks about with repurposing the buildings and all that, I think it's good to have that plan in a book and have it on a shelf and have it ready to pull out. But I think those buildings are going to get filled up again, because as the private industry goes, so will the state, so will people. And one of the things about it, about working, when I did work in places, that is, you learn so much more as a young worker by working around people who have either institutional memory, or you can walk next door and say, how do you do this thing? I don't know how to do it. And I think we're going to see the value of that come back. It's going to be slow. And I think that making using some of the buildings we have that are downtown, that are not being used, there is a homelessness cure right there. Some people are going to have to forego profits on leasing. There's going to have to be subsidies from the city and county. And Marcus is absolutely right about that. The county is a Johnny come lately on all these issues. And I think that's going to be a pretty good stopgap, is using some of these buildings to help house the homeless and provide social services. So I don't think downtown is moribund as it appears. And actually, if you go downtown during the week, the work week, it is still pretty lively. It went through a period right around COVID when it was dead. It was like watching a dystopian sci-fi movie. But now it's pretty lively, and it wasn't just for the holidays.
It's interesting you mentioned that. I just recently came back from San Francisco, and if I were to compare the two downtowns, Sacramento actually seems to have a little bit more of a pulse than downtown San Francisco. I know that sounds strange. Marcos, when you think about the business climate as well, what impact do you think that the expectation that we're going to run a $25 billion deficit this year in the state budget, how's that going to impact employment and business within our region?
I mean, it's going to require people to be innovative again. I mean, people have depended on these major handouts from the state because the money has been there. And so I think it's going to be a really challenging year but I think people, business leaders, are up for it. I think that Sacramento still has a chance to achieve some of the wins that seemed at hand right before COVID. I haven't given up on the dream of a Major League Soccer franchise in downtown Sacramento. I think that's still a possibility. If that were secured, then the construction would begin on a stadium downtown. And I think that would be a real catalyst for
what. Interesting you mentioned that, because there is still interest in soccer. As a matter of fact, one of the things that's supposed to be coming here later this year that your paper just covered is the Homeless World Cup of soccer. First time it's been played anywhere in the world since 2019, and it's coming right here to Sacramento.
It'll be here this summer, and it'll be a well-attended event. And I think it'll prove again that Sacramento turns out for events. That Sacramento is still a city that loves to gather, and we lost some of that in the last couple of years. And I agree with that. I think that I work in an office, but a lot of my colleagues have not joined the collection of people about a mile down the road from our old headquarters. And I think that the workplace has gained something from having people working collaboratively. And I'm hoping that in 2023, it'll be a trend that people will come back to work.
Is there anything, Ed, that since what most people would say, if not the end of COVID, has been the diminishment of COVID as, you know, the primary issue facing all of us, that has changed how we've lived, worked, you know, socialized that you expect is still never going to go back to the way that it was, and that we just have to resign ourselves, like Marcos was saying at the top of our conversation about office, that we just have to, that we haven't come to terms with yet, that's going to be different. And in 2023, we're just going to have to deal with.
Well, I think one of the things that we haven't talked about, so it's going to sound like I'm off target, and I apologize for that, but not really, is the fact that what I'd love to see resurrected is something that a county supervisor and city council tried to put forward probably 20 years ago, and that was to make the city and the county one government, as it is in San Francisco. And I think that's long overdue. The county has become a bunch of cities. When I first moved to Sacramento in 1976, it was really easy to remember the cities in Sacramento County. They were the FIGS cities, Folsom, Eielton, Galton, Sacramento. Now it's, it's just a complete, you have so many Elk Grove, Citrus Heights, Rancho Cordova, and you've got a bunch of cities. Well, as long as we're a bunch of cities, why don't we make the city and the county, the, what's left over in the county, one entity, City of Sacramento, County of Sacramento. And from there, you can start solving real problems. It can also probably get a number of the do-nothings off the county board, which would probably be a good thing. I don't think we have to resign ourselves to anything. I think the human spirit, which is very alive in Sacramento, does not simply resign to things. And I think we'll see an actual uptake in this coming year. And I'm maybe an optimist, but that's it hasn't failed me yet.
Marcos, one thing we haven't talked about is sports. Do you have any predictions for what's going to happen with the major teams that we follow here in Sacramento?
Okay, I know I'm going to regret this, but I'm going to go ahead and say it anyway, that I'm going to predict the Sacramento Kings will finally make it to the playoffs this year and have a winning record. Listen, I've bitten on this before in the last 16 years of dismal failures, but it seems that a change is finally at hand, and that's good for Sacramento. That's good for the downtown. That's good for, I remember the last time they were good, 16, 17 years ago. It was a really rallying cry for the region, but it was good for business. It was good for my business. It was good for a lot of businesses. And so I do think that the Kings have that ability to be a real a source of pride and excitement, and I think you're seeing that already. And so that's my prediction that I hope I won't regret.
I would agree with Marcos. I do think the Kings need to make one significant trade, and that's Vivek Ranadive, the owner. Send him somewhere else, and they might very well succeed.
I have fought that battle already.
When we talk about Sacramento showing up for things and about the Kings, at least as they promise to play during the current season, and there is a lot of building hope and expectation. Sacramento, you made an interesting comment, Marcos. Sacramento was in the process of becoming something before COVID hit. There was a lot of momentum and spirit going on. What is it that has kind of been put on the shelf because of the last 3 years that you're hoping to see us kind of move to the next level on in 2023 and beyond?
I mean, my hope is that we're going to build a bunch of buildings downtown where people can live. And I've always felt that our downtown would have finally arrived when you see young people in the evening walking their dogs around downtown. And that would mean that the blocks downtown that are currently not well lit would be well lit. And when things are well lit, it is safer. It's a nicer place to be. I think you're going to continue to see a lot of changes in the individual businesses that are downtown. Some of them just frankly didn't make it, couldn't pay their rent. But the city will continue evolving. And my hope is that someday soon, you'll see the NBA All-Star game in Sacramento, and you'll see a deep run in the playoffs to where we'll look like a very similar city to us, Milwaukee looked like a couple of years ago when their team won the NBA title. And what we saw was Mardi Gras in Milwaukee. And I think that that's good for the spirit of a downtown. And I hope that we experience that.
Mardi Gras in Milwaukee. I don't know what we'll call it. Big party in Sacramento.
Soiree in Sacramento.
Soiree in Sacramento. You know, that will be the... And that will be the last word, Ed. Okay. Thank you both, and we will see how it all plays out. And that's our show. Thanks to our guests, and thanks to you for watching Studio Sacramento. I'm Scott Syfax. See you next time, right here on KVIE.
Thank you for listening to Studio Sacramento from KVIE Public Television. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please leave us a review on iTunes to help others find it.
All episodes of Studio Sacramento, along with other KVIE programs, are available to watch online at kvie.org/video.